Blog Talk Radio.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to another Kingdom Builders International broadcast. I thank God for everyone that has called in. I thank God for all our internet listeners. Continue to listen to the music, and I will return. Glory to God.
Give myself away so you.
So God, take my heart.
Give my
Hallelujah, Jesus. We have to truly give ourselves away to God so He can use us. This is Evangelist Hannah with Kingdom Builders International. And again, I thank God for everyone who has called in and to all our internet listeners. Tonight, we have an awesome man of God that is going to bring forth the Word of God tonight. Apostle Dwayne Brooks from Straightway Full Gospel on 103rd and King Drive in Chicago, Illinois. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over the phone lines, God. I plead the blood of these over the airwaves, God, over the internet, God. I plead the blood of Jesus, Lord God, over the man of God as he prepares come forth, God, and deposit into your people, Lord God. I thank you that the word of God shall go forth with power and might and unhindered and unchecked by any outside forces in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I pray right now, as you stir up the gifts of the inside of the apostle, Lord God, we'll be attentive to what the man of God has to say to us tonight, Lord God, that we will receive what you have to say. If it's a word, Lord God, if it's a scripture, Lord God, if it's a comment, Lord God, whatever nugget that you have for us to receive tonight, Lord God, I pray, that we will receive it, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that you get all the praises and all the glory and all the honor, Lord God, for this world class tonight, God. In Jesus Christ's holy name, I pray, amen. Apostle Bruce, are you on the line?
Hallelujah. Can you
praise
hear me?
Praise the Lord, man of God. Yes, I can hear you clearly. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'd
like to say, eyes be here.
Glory to God.
I'm anticipating God to really bring forth a word for us tonight. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank God, first of all, first and foremost, and for you for being so gracious for allowing us to humble ourselves to the Word of God. It is my prayer that someone shall receive, and the Word shall go out and not come back void. I would like to start off by saying I plan on being here with the evangelist on third Fridays of every month, and we're going to have some exciting new words probably taught to the children of God. Tonight will be eschatology, tomorrow will be Christology, then theology, and then serotology. I like to bring those words forth because those are things we probably don't hear in our normal Bible studies, but they're very pertinent to understand the Word of God and what it means in certain sections of our lives. And eschatology is very exciting because it deals with what we're into right now. So if you allow me to pray, and then we'll get right into the Word of God. Father, right now I humble myself to nothing but your will. Allow me at this point in my life to decrease, Father, that you might increase. Use me like you never used me before, Father. Let the words that come out of my mouth come from heaven's gate first. Allow me, Father, for my flesh to fall away. I kill it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That the Spirit shall come forth. And the words that I speak, Father, will be words that can be used for the body, Father, that we might grow in wisdom and knowledge. And I thank you right now for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord, saints. It is Friday night. We used to call it the Eagle Fly, but now I like to say the Holy Spirit does. On Fridays at 7 o'clock, every third Friday, I plan on being with you, discovering and learning and teaching some interesting things about the Word of God and for the Word of God. Tonight, especially, I want to talk about the word eschatology. Eschatology. If you have your pens and pencils, I will write. Spell it for you. It's eschatology. Eschatology. What is eschatology? Well, it's a Greek word with the first half meaning esto, which means end. And further partology, of course, would mean the logos, which means end times, end word, ending words. So eschatology is the part of theology concerned with death, judgment, and the final destiny of the soul of humankind. And we often ask that question, what happens after this? We as Christians live day to day like the rest of the world, but we have understanding that there's a place prepared for us. We all want to know when that'll take place. Are there signs that show us that it's going to take place? No man knows the day or the hour, but he did leave us signs that we can be aware of that what times that we're in. And so when we deal with eschatology, it tells us about and who he is and where it is to find out about end times, death, judgment, and the destiny of your soul. Now that's interesting to find out what is the destiny of our soul. Well, Jesus told him, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, you may go also. So we know the soul, and it'll reside with Jesus and our spirit man. All of us have something to look for. But what is Christian eschatology? If we haven't heard the word before, bear with me as we teach it with the best understanding and the wisdom of God that we can give you, because it's an important word in our lives, because it deals with death and judgment again. We want to know when, where, and how. Everybody would like to know the day, hour, and the second, but it's not like that. If you have faith and hope, just know that you're living right. It says, none but the righteous shall see God, and you live according to the word of God, and you live a righteous life, you shall see him. But this is interesting because there are so many words in the Bible that tells us about coming judgment. It gives us insight as to what the signs shall be, what to look for, and how are we going to deal with it. Now, there are four dispensations that deal with eschatology, but we won't get to them tonight because there are four major views. There's dispensationalism, and there's historic premillennialism, there's postmillennialism, and there's another one, amillennialism, millennialism. It's those four views that we need to know. But we won't get into them because they each have a different view of how it's going to take place and when it's going to take place. But it all ends up the same. It just depends on which one you believe. And we believe the one that's the Word of God. So we're going to deal with eschatology tonight and get into it as much as we can for the next 45 minutes. What is eschatology? Well, it's the study of what the Bible says is going to happen in the end times, first and foremost. Most of us treat eschatology as an area of theology to be avoided because it's so much and it's so detailed that in Bible study we do not usually get into the details of eschatology because most don't teach Revelation and Daniel. There's also the same things mentioned in Matthew and 2 Thessalonians and Titus too. But eschatology is not as crucial as Christology or Soteriology, which we'll get in the coming weeks. In fact, next week we'll deal with Christology. But tonight, our word is eschatology. That does not mean, though, it's not an important Bible or biblical overview. It is very important because it deals with those things that we expect to come according to the Word of God. How we understand eschatology has an impact on how we should live our lives, and that's important. And what we are to expect to occur in God's plan, and some important issues in eschatology deal with everyday living. I know if you watch the news and if you've noticed this year and all the things that are happening are uncommon to what man has wrote down historically. The newspapers tell us all the time this has never happened or that hasn't happened in 50 years, or the weather is changing and we're in December, but yet the temperature is 50 degrees. And all these things point to eschatology, because there's points in the Bible that say, man shall not know the changing of the seasons. This year alone, we've had over 2,000 earthquakes. And that has caused many to think, why so many this year? But last year we had even more. We had 2,986 earthquakes. But some of the most devastating ones have taken place this year. We talk about Haiti and Japan, which were very, very devastating as far as lives lost, buildings and materials and people's lives was changed. They're devastating, but there are points in the Bible that says there'll be earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars in diverse places. Now, a fact that I can tell you astrologically today is that there's no place on earth this year that has not had a flood of some type. No place. If you remember in Utah, there was roads closed. It was in Nevada, where the whole town was closed up because of a flood. So you think about it. Out of the whole world, there's no place that hasn't had a flood, except for one place in Africa where it had a severe drought, and they still have one. And if you encompass how big the world is, that is something that we should take notice to, because it is a point of end times. Wars, floods, in diverse places. There's nothing more diverse when something takes place in the entire world. So when we talk about eschatology, we're talking about those things that transpire, that point toward the end times that are surely to come. Out of the 2,588 prophecies in the Bible about end times, do you know that over 1,000 of them have been fulfilled already? Or what makes you think that the Bible is not going to be true to itself and fulfill every word therein? So if we want to know about eschatology and end times, which is really interesting to me because it makes me aware. It's just like Newsweek magazine. You read it because the story has been told, and they just give you more details about it when you hear about it. Well, the Bible, I can reflect it like that, because if you read in Daniel 7, it says, the fourth beast shall be fourth kingdom of the earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and trample it and break it into pieces. Well, that's telling us what will transpire. Who is the beast? It's identified in Revelation. We know every country has an animal of some type that identifies it. The Russian bear, United States eagle, et cetera, et cetera. So they are all point to signs, and they were given long before people up and noticed. This Bible was written long before that they gave themselves those particular symbols. So the prophets who wrote these were surely hearing from God when they talk about the beast. So you understand that when we talk about end times, it's exciting, because we have to understand these will take place prior to some time before my Savior comes back. Some of these things are taking place right now. See, the earth is in travail. She's about to bring forth a Savior. And when I think about all the floods that the water is breaking, and women can relate to this, when the water breaks soon and very soon, I think the earth is in about 3 to 5 centimeters. She's about to bring forth the Savior. In fact, Gabriel is shining up his horn. So when we talk about eschatology, get excited about it, because I say, come, Lord Jesus. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth. All these things that we're transpiring right now, the tragedies and the severe killings of our children, they'll stop. And so when these things come about, it makes me excited to know that the Word of God assures us of a peaceful end. So come, Lord Jesus. And these things must transpire for you to come forth. I'm excited about it. So when we deal with eschatology, we're dealing with those things that are pertinent to what's happening and what's about to come. We talk about the rapture. It's about when his righteous judgment to be poured out on the earth during this tribulation period. There is going to be a tribulation period. We call it the rapture. Remember, the word rapture does not occur in the Bible. The concept of rapture does, though it is clearly taught in Scripture. The rapture of the church is the event in which God removes all believers from the earth in order to make way for his righteous judgment to be poured out on the earth during the tribulation period. So it's exciting to me as a Christian, doing the best I can to live a holy and a righteous life. When the tribulation period comes, the last trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are left shall be caught up to meet Jesus in the sky. And that gives me an idea of why I'm living right, because I won't have to go through the real tribulation. You might think what we're going through is bad, but can you imagine the earth fighting against God, the demons fighting against God? The tribulation period will be a horrible time. And it just assures me here what it says, that I'll be caught up to meet him in the sky. And we've been caught up in so much mess, so many things that are going wrong with the earth. Our leaders don't know what decisions to make for the right person. Everybody is seeking their own power to listen to me. I have the answers, but nobody has the answer save Jesus Christ. And those of us who love the Lord enough have to have the hope and know and the understanding that the Word of God is going to do and be exactly what it says it would be. So we look forward to the rapture time in the concept of knowing the word eschatology. It's a part of it. This also talks to me in eschatology about the second coming. When the rapture is going to occur in relation to the tribulation. When is the rapture going to occur in relation to tribulation? Will the rapture occur before the tribulation, at the middle of tribulation, or the end of tribulation? Well, it tells us in the Word of God before it, so we don't have to worry about being a part of that tribulation. Now, everybody talking about heaven ain't going now. There's certain things that we must do in order to be a part of that, because there's going to be some left that's going to have to go through that in order to know that God is God. That'll be your final warning. What is the second coming of Christ as far as eschatology is concerned? And why is it so important? Might be another question on your mind. Why is it so important for Jesus to return? Well, we know it's important for him to return for, number one, it was his promise. He said, I shall come again. And when he said he'd come again, we understand that Jesus' word is true. So he is coming back. But he's not coming back as a lowly and meek person that he was before. He's coming back as a conquering king. For the battle is already won. He's coming back to take back everything that Satan is doing now to God's people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why is it important? It's important because it fulfills the word of God. Everything in the Word of God shall be fulfilled according to every passage, every scripture. Why is it important for Jesus to return? It's important for him to return, for this is his kingdom. He didn't die just to set us sin free. He died that his kingdom will be established on earth. Now, let me give you this understanding, and you check me if I'm wrong. You can call back and talk to me. Everybody feels like we're going to go up to a heaven and be there. But if you read the Word of God, it says, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down. And there will be some living right here on this place because it's going to be cleaned up. Armageddon tells us that. It's the war between good and evil. Armageddon is going to tear this earth up, and it's going to be just like God said it would be. The lamb shall be able to lay down with the lion. So it's important to us that study eschatology to understand what all this means when it starts to transpire. It's to give us hope, not to live in fear because there's going to be some terrible things happening. But there's terrible things happening now, and you made it through. But again, realize, if you're a child of God, we don't have worry or fear. Luke 10 and 19 says, I give you power over scorpions and serpents, and by no means nothing shall be able to hurt you. And that's a powerful word of God. If you believe it, you can receive it. What will the signs of Christ's return be? This is part of eschatology. We are going through the signs. I explained some of them to you already. Even now, if you look what's happening in Israel, we know about the wars, but they're starting now to breed the red cow. The red cow was the perfect cow to be sacrificed to God. For a long time, the strain wasn't even around anymore, but now they start to breed the perfect heifer now for sacrificial purposes. That's exciting to know. The Dome on the Rock, where Christians had it first, Muslims have it now, but it's going to be returned to Jesus. The first sign of Jesus coming back was in 1944, when Israel actually became a country on its own, became independent. That's exciting news. That's why it's so important that they remain independent, because that's part of biblical history. And eschatology speaking, we understand that is part of the exciting knowing about Jesus' ultimate return. And he will return because of the fact of it's a promise. He fulfills every promise to us. Another thing about eschatology we like to talk about is the millennium, literal or figurative. The fulfillment of many is God's covenants, so to speak, and promises rest on a literal, physical, and future kingdom. There is no solid basis to deny the literal understanding of the millennial kingdom and its duration doing and being 1,000 years. This was first talked about, if you read again in Daniel 7. They talk about Daniel talking about the years to come and things that will be fulfilled during that process. But it also gives us those things that's happening now. The wars that took place were all predicted in the Bible. Even World War One and World War Two were talked about. Will the generation that reformed Israel as a nation be a part of the second coming? That's not a promise. But it did say those that were alive that believed would see the reformation of the Jewish kingdom, which now is in Israel. It is not scriptural to teach that generation will see it after Israel becomes a nation, and they are. Or will the same ones that saw it begin be here when Jesus returns? But I can tell you that it says at some point someone in this generation will be alive when Jesus comes back. That's why when some people say, oh, everybody got to die and go this way, we all going out that way. Well, in all probability, most of us may. But they said there'll be some generation yet alive when Jesus returns. So you don't know that everybody's going to have to die and go to a funeral home or go through that type of services. It doesn't speak biblically. That's not the whole truth. The whole truth is, again, the Bible teaches us that some of us shall be alive when he comes back. Doesn't mean that it's going to be me or maybe you, but maybe our children. Maybe our grandchildren will be alive when he comes back. But there are going to be people still alive. So everybody won't taste death as we know it. But the spiritual death is just as terrible as the physical death. So if you're not saved and you have a spiritual death, why be left alive when Jesus comes back? So it's better for us to be saved spiritually and let our soul be recreated and regenerated by the perfect blood of Jesus Christ than to walk around thinking that we're going to be here anyway, because there's a difference between living and existing. It says that when you live, you have joy, unthinkable joy. That's when you live for Christ. You may go through some things, but that's just it. You're going through. And will this generation be ready to receive Jesus when he returns? This is preparation time. Every day is preparing us for the ecological things to take place in our lives. Every day you have to get up, hallelujah, preparing yourself to meet Jesus. That doesn't mean you have an expectation not to live. That means you have an expectation to live, that you want to live forever. And the most important thing for us that are sold out for Jesus is do everything we can. Paul said, I die to the flesh daily. So every day you must die to your flesh. That doesn't mean you're not going to have some problems, but I understand God is a problem solver. And if you give it over to him and believe it, you know that he will show up on time. So I like to deal with the words such as eschatology, because it tells us about things that we have to prepare for that are yet coming. And when you're prepared for something yet coming, you will understand that you're ready for it. Preparation means ready. Being Marine, I knew we was prepared. Even though I didn't have to go to war, we was prepared to fight the battle. And we went through training and everything that anyone else did. Even though I didn't have to go out and literally kill someone, I was prepared to do it, which means I was ready. It's the same thing if you're a soldier sold out for God. You have to be prepared. You have to be prepared in such a way that you have to fight every day. The enemy doesn't sleep or slumber either. He's constantly on the prowl, thinking who he might devour. So you must get up and do your spiritual exercise. Pray without ceasing. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. All things shall be added unto you. And let me admonish most of us. Most of us do not get into the Word of God like we're supposed to. Do we lay out our concordances and our Bibles on the table and ready to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the Word of God? And when you have the word hidden in your heart, it's easy to fight the enemy. We don't hear about Jesus fighting the enemy physically or he quoted scriptures. It was engraved in his heart. And so when things come along to fight us, we need to have the word of God engraved in us. But Bible study on Wednesday, you go in for an hour and you come out, you learn a few things, and you go home. Most of us close our Bible up. We don't take notes like we used to. We should come. You should go to church on Sundays with a pad and pen, writing down what your pastor is teaching, so that you know when you get home, when you study your Word of God, he's teaching the truth, that he's teaching something that you understand is part of God's Word. And sometimes I don't believe he should be teaching nothing new. He should be expounding on something that you know already, giving you the critical and the exegesis so that you can understand the scriptures a little deeper and make them applicable to your life. And that makes us understand the Word of God better when you know it for yourself. And we don't study like we should. I mean, I don't even think I study as hard as I should. I mean, we should have our face in the Bible and tell it we need glasses just to see. The Word should just pop out at us and just read the Bible. I know people that don't even open their Bible till they get to church on Sunday. And some don't open their Bible on Sunday. How are you going to know eschatologically what's going to happen if you're not reading the mind of God? The mind of God is His Word. The mind of God is His Word. So many people had to go through so many changes so that we could have the Word of God in the first place. And it's so anointing. Atheists have tried to prove the Bible wrong. Historians and archaeologists all have tried to prove. But the more they try to make it wrong, they find out how much it is right and can't understand why they can't find something wrong with it. Listen, if man wrote the Bible, and he did, but if he wrote it by himself, how come someone else hasn't wrote a bestseller like this? No book has sold more copies. No book has been more read. No book has more impact on people's lives than the Bible has, and that's throughout history in the whole world. So I just reprimand you, if I could use that terminology, that you need to get deep in your Word of God so we can't be led astray. When people start saying, like last year, that God is going to return on such and such a day at such and such a time, you need to sell everything and sell out your house and give all your money to me so that when God comes back. And that's what some minister did. People believed it. They sold their houses. That's because they did not know the Word of God. And these were some people who have been in church all their lives. Imagine, been in church all their lives and didn't know the Word of God. Pew holders. And you know, it's enough pew holders. We didn't church enough folk. It's enough folk that go to church, but it ain't enough folk that sold out for God. Hallelujah. It's not enough people that are sold out, thank you, Holy Ghost, that are willing to sacrifice the time and effort that they do for everything else but to get in the Word of God. We can go to work for 8 hours and work overtime. We do everything we want to do. But how much time do you spend in the Word of God and praying? That is so critical to our understanding and our salvation that it's an intricate part of seeing God's face. None but the righteous. And the Christian crutch, oh, God know my heart, and he knows I'm doing the best I can. Oh, he know your heart, but you're not doing the best you can. Because if you're doing the best you can, you wouldn't have to make that statement in the first place. Praise God. So eschatologically speaking, we need to find out what the Word of God tells us about things that are about to come. So you can be aware as possible of things that are transpiring and why they're transpiring. Some things have to transpire just so Jesus will come back. And I say, come, Lord Jesus. It may cost some lives. And people say, well, our baby's dying, and why there's AIDS and cancer, all those still running rampant in the world. Because he still gives us choice. He doesn't want an automaton, someone he can make. God can make us serve him if that's what he chose to do. But he wants willing sacrifice. He wants servants that are really sold out to do him because they accept him as Lord and Savior, accept him as King of Kings, accept him as the Mighty Counselor, accept him as your all in all. If you put God first and everything else comes second, things about your living for him will come much easier. The Bible describes a terrible period of tribulation in Revelation chapter 6 and 18. And it's really an intricate part of eschatology. And some of you, if you listen, if you have your pen and paper, you can write these scriptures down, and it'll help you expound on some of the things we're talking about tonight. And again, on our word for tonight is eschatology, the study of end times, death, and judgment of the human spirit and soul. Will this tribulation be preceded by the rapture? Will it conclude with the rapture? Or has it already occurred? Good questions to ask if you think about it. Will the tribulation precede the rapture? Yes. Because we know first we're going to be caught up, as we said earlier. And that's the word rapture doesn't occur, but the description of the rapture occurs. And when it speaks, that's what rapture means, that we'll be caught up to meet God. And the tribulation will occur after that. And that's why it will occur after that, because God's people won't be here to face such a terrible time. Will it conclude with the rapture, or in fact has it already occurred? Well, we know that the rapture hasn't occurred because most of the saints I know are still here, and I'm still here, and I'm just believing enough that when it comes that I'll be caught up. If the rapture had occurred already, I pray that I wouldn't be able to do this radio broadcast tonight, praise God. But we know that it hasn't occurred because so many people have told us in the past, and I won't mention a certain face, but they talk about Jesus has already returned, and some have said they know when he's coming back. Why is man so interested in saying things that's not in the Bible? Because man wants to be God, little g, and he wants to be able to know certain things that are not ready for us to know in the first place. Because if you understand, if we knew when Jesus was coming back, how would we act? If we knew he was coming back tomorrow, we'd be doing things that would be unnatural to us, and he wants us to be able to operate freely with the understanding, yes, I'm coming back, but you be as an expecting bride. Trim your lamps and get ready. He says he's coming back to claim a church without a spot or a wrinkle. We are the church without a spot or a wrinkle. He wants some pure vessels. He wants some people that are sold out. So if you want to be caught up in the rapture, think about it. The things that's happening around us now point to that. That's the next thing that's going to happen as far just before Jesus comes back. That is the first sign, the rapture. That is the thing that we need to know that's going to happen prior to Jesus coming back. Then we'll have the tribulation. Will the tribulation come before Jesus come back, or will the tribulation occur after he's come back? Well, I want you to go to Revelation 6 and 18 and read for yourselves. Because sometimes if you teach and tell everything, it makes it easy. That's why we go to church, or we have people that go to church on Sundays, and they sit and get a few things and think they know. When they leave out, and then when something comes along to challenge their faith or challenge what's going on, they fall weak because they haven't studied and knew it for themselves. The Bible is just like a carpenter's hammer. You got to have it wherever you go. It's your operating tool. It's the one thing that has set you apart from everybody else. If you start knowing your Bible, like some of us know the videos or TV programs or good at that, we know everything else, then imagine how more important we would be to the kingdom of God. Because if we rightly divide in the word of God and know about these things such as eschatology, end times, signs, and the rapture, we can speak to some lost soul and say, listen, you think you're going through something now. This is what it says in the Bible about what's going to happen. And the fourth angel shall come, and then death will ride upon a red horse. And you better get some description of some things that will make this person at least think. It may not change their mind immediately, but you want a person first to process, to start thinking about, you mean there's something worse than what I'm going through already? And if somebody's lost and homeless and don't have no place to sleep or eat or food, imagine something worse than that. Well, that'll give you something to think about, because what we think about right now, that's a terrible position to be in. But we're not aware of what happens in third world countries. We in the United States live pretty good. So most things like that don't frighten us, because we feel like we out of touch. But we had a dose of reality in the last couple of years that nobody is untouchable as far as our economy is. But we're in a good position as far as Christians are concerned, but because we know that God is coming back to rescue us from all these times and tribulation. And there's a great controversy, of course, about eschatology, but that does not relieve us of our responsibility to study and understand what the Bible teaches us about end times. And understanding of eschatology, we eliminate many of the fears we have about our future. So making that statement, I'm saying if you learn about end times and you hear about some things on the TV or radio or through the news and you see it happening like never before, it's snowing in California, they got 10 feet of snow, or I'm just saying it hasn't happened, but if you see about things like that, it just as Jesus said, you will not know the changing of the season. God has given us signs of things that have not happened before in history. I understand that we had a summer that was like that. Well, we didn't have rain for a while. Just be aware And when you read it in the Bible first, it makes you so happy. Yes, these things have to pass because it's just a sign of my Savior coming back. It's just like when John the Baptist was telling, make way straight, because the God is coming back. People didn't believe it. And lo and behold, here come Jesus down the River Jordan. And so we need to sound the alarm, sound the trumpet. Jesus is coming back. Read in your Bible about what it says about eschatology. It's a great deal of controversy, yes, but that doesn't relieve us of knowing what we have to find out about end times. Our understanding of eschatology will eliminate many of your fears. See, our God is sovereign. He has a plan. He's a God that operates according to his plan, and it will unfold according to his perfect will and timing. That's exciting. His perfect will, where are you going to find God's perfect will at? Through the reading of his word and knowing and understanding what's about to take place. Jesus told him in Matthew, the 24th chapter, that there'll be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, and these are the signs of time. He didn't say when, but he said there are signs. He's given us evidently signs. It's like going down the highway. It says there's a turn coming up. You understand, you prepare for that turn. Your speed limit is 55. Well, that doesn't mean you're supposed to go 75, because there's a sign that tells you what speed is necessary to operate safely on that particular road. Well, if we took that same vernacular and used it according to the word of God, these are signs, and it's our responsibility to understand what the sign means for our lives and for ourselves, for our community, and for this world. And when you become a Christian, you have a responsibility to find out what is transpires in the Bible that's going to be applicable to me now and in the future. That's why eschatology to me is so important. It gives us an idea of what's going to happen in the future. Just think, it also gives you an idea how you can raise your children because you know what's coming. And that gives, take them to church. There's so many children that's not in Sunday school anymore. There's so many of us that are not taking our kids to Sunday school. And the one thing that gave us the basic foundation in my generation, you had to go to church. You had to find out about life. You had to learn how to be a moral citizen of this world. And that's what made it exciting. Our God is sovereign. He has a plan. It's going to unfold his perfect will. That gets me excited. Hallelujah. This is a great encouragement to those who are in Christ. Be encouraged, saints. Know that God's word is going to unfold for your better half. Again, I like to say this. The dead in Christ shall rise first. The last trumpet is going to sound. And we who are left shall be caught up to meet him in the sky. That's exciting. That's good news. That no matter what happens, we're going to be caught up with Christ. And I know some have been caught up on drugs, and we've been caught up in adulterous affairs. We've been caught up stealing and lying and caught up on these jobs and caught up economically and caught up all kind of ways. Just think, you don't have to worry about that now. Live like God wants you and be caught up on Jesus. I could almost preach that. But tonight we just want to explain eschatology. A key verse in eschatology is Titus 2 and 13. It says, we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a great scripture, and that's the point of eschatology. We wait for a blessed hope, and our blessed hope that God's perfect will and plan is going to transpire. It's happening in our newspapers. It's happening all over the world. He's preparing us. He's preparing us to get ready for him. So every day is preparation time. Get ready, soldiers. Get out and do your spiritual exercise and open them Bibles up and get into the word of God like never before. Get you a concordance, which tells you the word of God, and get you a place where you can study greatly and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you and understand. The more you know about the Bible, the more you understand about your particular life and what's going to transpire in the future for Christians' lives all around you. And you'll be a better help to the church that you go to because you've learned the word of God for yourself, and you maybe help someone who hasn't. And the thing about knowing the word of God for yourselves, it makes you a better person. A key verse in eschatology, again, is Titus 2 and 13, a blessed hope. People who study the Bible often ask, what is eschatology? Maybe some of us even haven't heard of it until tonight. Many have never heard of that word or can't even pronounce it. And tonight, for some reason, as much as I use those, I've had a little bit of problem of pronouncing and announcing myself. But it's eschatology, pronounced as eschatology, two Greek words. The first, eschatos, means last or final. The second, logos, means word or study. So a study, the end time, the final time. Remember that. Let me spell it for you again just before we have question and answer, as our time is getting a little late. We have about 15 minutes left, which is good timing. Eschatology, E-S-C-H-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y, eschatology. It means the study of things that are going to come. Any category, human life, animal life, plant life, all these events are going to be touched by the word eschatology, a plan for end times. The eternal kingdom shall come to place no matter what man does. The resurrection and resurrection of the dead is going to take place. Man cannot stop what God has already planned. That's great. No matter what man does, no matter what he says, no matter how great he is, how much money he has, how many billions of dollars. And what makes that also exciting to me, God is no respecter of persons. There's a level playing field. The time that it gets unlevel is for those that study the Word of God and those that are serious Christians and those that are sold out. Again, some of us are just churchgoers. We go on Sunday and our lives have never changed. I'd rather have four people in church whose lives have changed than a church full of people who just come on Sunday. I appreciate them coming, and it's good to see their face, but it's time out for playing church. Eschatology speaking, we are in the last days. And I'm not sending up a fear. I'm not a fear monger or trying to scare you or things like that. But if it does make you awake, it does make you aware that we are living in the times that Jesus is preparing us for that he might come back. He's preparing our children. He's preparing churches. There's more apostolic movement in churches now than ever before. I can even refer to that. I was a first apostle in the Baptist church that I knew about. And people were, how are you going to be an apostle in the Baptist church? Well, we was Baptists prior to that, but we're surely full gospel now. God was just making a change. And anyone who says they aren't under the apostolic, if you read in your Bible, it says Jesus, who was the first apostle. So everybody that follows Jesus is under the apostolic anointing, and whether you realize or not. Read it for yourself in the Bible. Jesus is the first apostle, duly appointed by God. It's in there. Amen? So when you say you're this and you're that, leave denominations alone. There's not one denomination in the Bible, but there is a preparation time. So if you're Baptist, good, that's what you are. If you're Catholic, that's what you are. Or whatever you call yourself as far as your denomination, that's entirely your decision. But for me and my house, I just want to be called child of God, those who follow him according to his word, and able to express and see signs, wonders, and miracles that follow him, that use his word and know the power that he left us with. He said, greater things that you'll be able to do. Get right, church. Let's prepare ourselves for his ultimate return. And I say Maranatha without a spot or a wrinkle. Some of those things that are important to us is the second coming of the judgment and things that we'll have to see. There's going to be a good time in the eschatological days, the end times or the last days. Study to show yourself approved. Get ready for the new covenant. We're not under the old testament. The new covenant gets us prepared. We're covered by the blood of Jesus to come, the age to come, a new heaven and a new earth. The eternal kingdom and eternal life are on us very soon. Soon and very soon, the king is going to come. The eschatology in the Bible speaks of the end of what is temporal. The dissolution of what was temporal leads to natural, and that is what is. That leads to naturally what is eternal. Let me say that again for you. The eschatology in our Bible speaks of the end of what was temporal. The Old Testament was temporal. Those things were set up. It was temporary. We're under the new covenant. That means it's eternal. The dissolution of what was temporal leads naturally to what is eternal. And we're now eternally awaiting his return. It's going to happen. Just as sure as you hear my voice now, Jesus is coming back. For those of you that don't believe that, I pray for you. The old covenant was temporary, and people didn't believe that it ever could be torn down till Jesus died and the temple was rent from the bottom up. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees had to understand that their time of the law was over with, and they could not keep it, and it was removed so that we're covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the new covenant is taught in many passages, Matthew 5 and 17, Corinthians 3, 7 and 12, Hebrews 7, 18 and 19. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. This was the goal of eschatology, to make you understand that old things had to pass away so that we look forward to the things that are about to come. It's exciting, my brothers and sisters, as we're sold out for Jesus. as we look to the Bible, which is our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Get excited about this new word in your life. If you've heard me out there, get in there and find out about the end time. And so when you read the newspapers and you see the news and you see CNN and NBC and all those things like that, talk about things that haven't happened before. Get excited and start praising your Lord. I thank you for your time and effort, and we're going to have maybe the next 10 minutes so people can call in, or I can hear if you have any questions or anything like that, and we'd be more than happy to try to answer them. It is my prayer that someone is impacted or someone learned something tonight. Remember that it wasn't me who did it, but the Holy Spirit that operates in me. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would have this word touch somebody like never before. Let them be reminded, Father, that soon and very soon you're coming back to claim your own. Thank you, and God bless, and I look forward to hearing from you. Evangelist, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hallelujah. We're going to see if we can have a few people. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I just thank God for the apostle and for the teaching that went forth tonight. Glory be to God. But first of all, we're going to extend the prayer of salvation. So if you are over the phone lines or you are on the internet and you have not called on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have no security for your future if you have not called on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may be going through, I know this is the season that we acknowledge the birth of Jesus Christ, that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And a lot of people get depressed and lonely during this season.
Amen.
Jesus is there for you. He loved you. He died for you. God sent his only son for you. So you don't have to be lonely. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be feeling bad. It was a comment made to me, and one of my sisters in Christ said that this is my depressed season because I used to be able to give gifts, and now I can't give gifts, so people are going to be expecting stuff for me. So I just had to rebuke her right then and there. You shall not be depressed this season. And it's not about giving gifts. It's about showing forth love, and not just in December. That's 12 months in a year we're supposed to show forth love. And I just want to encourage you to just let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Glory be to God, and God will keep you in peace. So if you have not called on Christ, just repeat after me. I know that I have sinned, and right now I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I open up the door of my heart, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Take control of my life and help me become the person that you want me to be. I thank you for dying on the cross so I can be forgiven. If you said that prayer, if you opened up your heart and you let Jesus in, Kingdom Builders International want to know. You can go to the website at www.kingdomdaughters.org and put in the comment box. Let us know if you don't have a Bible. We would love to send you a Bible. We would love to stand in your faith fight with you and pray with you. Glory be to God. And I say welcome to the body of Christ. Go tell someone, and the angels are rejoicing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now I'm going to open up the lines, so if anyone have any comments or testimony, you may come forth now, but can you please state where you're calling from and your name? Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're truly worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. That was a very good teaching, Apostle. I love the book of Revelation.
Amen.
I not just read the book of Revelation. I study the book of Revelation because I really wanted more knowledge and understanding of the book of Revelation, and as you talked about the rapture, even now within the body of Christ, some people believe in, I'm with you, I believe in pre-rapture, that I'm going to be raptured up before any of the events in Revelation start. Some people believe in mid-rapture, that we're going to get raptured up within the 3.5 years of the event.
Exactly.
And some people believe that we're going to be raptured up at the end of the 7 years event. And I just believe that God saved Noah from the turmoil and the tragedy. And so I believe in post-rapture. I believe that we're going to be raptured up. So if anyone have any comments for the apostle or any comments at all, you may come forth now.
Yes, Evangelist, this is Prophetess Teresa Dockson. I was blessed tonight. Greetings to you, Apostle Brooks. I was truly blessed with the word of God as it went forth, because the word of God tell us in Matthew 24:14, the word says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So we know that the end is coming, and we know that there's preparation for the people of God to be with our Father.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they believe post-rapture, pre-rapture, the rapture is coming.
It's coming, yes.
It's coming, mm-hmm. and when it does come, we need the word of God in our bellies.
Hallelujah.
We need the word of God in our hearts, and we need to be bold soldiers for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kingdom is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the only kingdom. It's not about church. We know the church belongs to God, but
mm-hmm.
the church has allowed so many erroneous teachings to go forth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about kingdom, reaching out and pouring into someone else the truth about God's kingdom.
Thank
so
you,
we need to grab as many souls as we can. We need to forgive as many people as we can. We need to bring peace in every situation. So we need to make a difference, because I was saying to one of my sisters in Christ today, our time is near. Our days is numbered. Because the end is going to come. And whether we're alive when the rapture, when Jesus comes back, we know that he's coming. So I just want to just encourage you, Apostle Brooks.
Thank you.
Word of God went forth. We were blessed. And a lot of listeners, we had quite a few listeners on the line. And I just encourage you that as God allow you to encourage the people of God, that the blood of Jesus keep you safe, keep you healthy, keep you prospering, keep
Hallelujah.
You strong, keep you at peace. And I speak that over your life. I decree it, I declare it, and I thank you, Lord, that the man of God shall go forth with mighty, mighty power and anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. And we thank you for just setting yourself apart to pour into the broadcast tonight.
Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Apostle, do you have any more comments?
I would just like to say we hope that someone learned past their general understanding and be prepared, eschatologically speaking. Make yourself ready. For Jesus is coming back to claim his own. And God bless you and God keep you. And I'll talk to you next time in Jesus' name.
Amen. Glory to God. And Apostle Wayne Brooks will be on every third Friday at 7 o'clock. In January the 20th. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And again, Kingdom Builders International, thank God for everyone that has called in. We give a shout out, hallelujah, to all the internet
hallelujah.
Listeners. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God again for the awesome teaching. We love you, and God loves you. And you have a blessed night and good night.
Turn around, tell two big people, I surrender. I surrender to him. I surrender. This is your night. Don't take it to the new year. Anything that you want to leave behind, tell somebody I'm leaving it behind. I'm leaving it behind. I'm leaving it behind tonight.